fulfillment. Jesus goes on to speak these words that must have left his listeners with a sinking feeling in the pit of their stomachs. He says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." While the scribes and Pharisees often challenged Jesus, they were not bad people. And the fact that they had standards of righteousness that they taught and upheld in their society was a good thing. Jesus applauded the law and the prophets, saying that he did not come to abolish them. The problem is this: the Pharisees viewed themselves and were viewed by the people of their day to be the most righteous people. And Jesus has just told the multitude that if they want to enter the kingdom of heaven, they need to have a greater righteousness than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. But how is this possible? When we look at the Pharisees, they seem to have it all together. The Pharisees look great on the outside. If you had a checklist of what a man of God should look like, you could have checked off every single item on the list. But that's not holiness or righteousness. That's simply morality. And Jesus didn't come to make us moral people. He put the world high jump record, if you will, out of reach. He came to give us a new heart, a new life, a new identity. The motive in living for God, it's out of an overflow of our love for God that we ought to be living in accordance with his word. It's easy to have all the outer appearances of righteousness, but if we have none of the inner reality, we have a big problem. That's why Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites, because their hearts didn't match their outward appearance. The Pharisees believed that it was all about the letter of the law. Jesus condemns them because they kept the law. Not because they kept the law, but because they completely missed the point of the law. David the king and psalmist saying that he delighted in the law of God. Life in the kingdom isn't so much about rules and regulations as it is about loving and honoring God. Keeping the law for the law's sake brings death, whereas the spirit of the law brings life. So the very righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees simply isn't enough. Of course, we're often like them in many ways. We can be concerned with getting the outside right at all costs. So we get good at covering up what's really going on inside of us. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he called them whitewashed tombs, because to all outward appearances they had it all together, but inside there was rot. There was death. We are good at covering up the mess inside. We learn to hide our hurts and pains and sins, those things which separate us from God and from those we love. We learn to hide the darkness, but hiding it doesn't change the fact that it's still there. And all of our striving isn't enough to set us free. There's only one righteousness that is good enough. There was only one person righteous enough. In St. Paul's letter to the Romans, we read these happy words: "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." If the law leaves us found wanting, then Jesus has filled up what the law was lacking. He has made complete that which was incomplete. He has done for us what the law was powerless to do. This is the good news of the gospel. The preacher there on that mount in Galilee, telling us it is impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven on our own, is the same one who will make a way for us on a different mount. He will make a way for us by making his righteousness our own. And it is our righteousness as a gift of grace received by taking God at his word and trusting him to do all that he has promised, which is to say, faith. Christ makes his righteousness our own and gives us a new identity. As we cling to Christ, we become more like him. He has called you and comforted you, and he serves you the holy supper of his body and blood, a holy mystery to assure us that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of Christ. All of this is true when we come before God and we find our friend and advocate, as we hear in Cranmer's comfortable words, Jesus Christ, the righteous, with all accounts settled, and we are set free in the freedom of the glory of God because of Jesus Christ. Today's collect implores that very thing. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Christian life isn't about keeping all the rules so that you can say, I am righteous. Peter the Apostle writes that Christ has already done that for us. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. The Christian life is about allowing God to set us free, to bring us home, to shape our character and to transform us, giving us a new identity with Jesus Christ, the righteous, who made a way for us to enter that which was impossible, the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophet. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world.
Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We beseech thee also, so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people, to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We offer our thanksgiving for the Sant Library, the work of the Diocesan Dismantling Racism Commission, and Chester, their chairperson, and the Anglican Church of Canada, and Linda, the Archbishop. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially Marie and Phyllis, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace, so to follow the good examples of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Blessed Michael and all angels, Blessed George and of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake,